So Kevin asked me to come on up and to introduce our guest speaker this evening, and I am so blessed to do that. And you know, I leaned over to her and I said, listen, I'm going to read your bio again, because here's the deal. Gentlemen, you did not get to hear me read the quality of an individual that the Lord has sent us this weekend. And so I want you to hear who the individual is that's coming to minister to us, because I want you to open your heart to receive, and I want you to understand just the excellence. The Lord always just brings us the best. So this is Dr. Caroline Leaf's bio. Since 1985, Dr. Caroline Leaf, a communication pathologist and audiologist, has worked in the area of cognitive neuroscience. She specialized in traumatic brain injury and learning disabilities, focusing on the science of thought as it pertains to thinking and learning. She developed a theory and did some of the initial research back in the 1990s showing how the mind can change the brain. She applied the findings of her research in clinical practice for nearly 25 years and now lectures and preaches globally. She is a prolific author and has been a featured guest of Joyce Meyer, James Robison, Marilyn Hickey, Sid Roth, and TBN, among others. She has her own show on TBN called Switch On Your Brain. Her passion is to help people see the link between science and scripture as a tangible way of controlling their thoughts and emotions, learning how to think and learn, and finding their sense of purpose in life. Caroline and her husband, Mac, live in Dallas, Texas with their four children. Would you please welcome with me this evening, Dr. Caroline Leaf.
Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. I always think the loudest applause should be reserved to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we stand here. So let's give him the greatest hand clap you can give him today. Yeah. Remember, he is ever with us. It reminds me of a person just up the road from you. Kevin was breaking into someone's house wanting to steal the DVDs and the CDs. It was late at night. He was shining a torch there, and he heard a voice saying, Jesus is watching you. So he shined a torch in the corner, and there he saw a parrot. So he said to the parrot, did you say that? And the parrot said, yes. He says, what's your name? The parrot says, my name's Moses. So he says, what kind of stupid people will call their parrot Moses? And the parrot says, the same people that call their Rottweiler Jesus.
Thank you.
We always like to do different sessions, just for those that don't know. So we've got three different sessions coming up your way tonight. We're talking about choice tomorrow, the sower and the seed, and we're going to finish off with worship in the brain, the last session, talking about speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, what that does for you. So I encourage you to attend all three sessions. So we thank you, Pastor Kevin, for allowing us to bring different subjects, different times. And let's hope we can fill this beautiful chapel up and honor your wonderful pastors, Kevin and Maria. And thank you that you invited us to stand here. We're honored to stand here before you, my wife and I. I'm Big Back, been married to the brain for 27 years. I'm the smartest guy in the room sometimes.
Always. You're so smart. He's falling up into my arms on the stairs there. Did you see that? I mean, I'm the one with the heels, that like 6-inch heels. That was funny. So he reaches out to help me up the stairs and he falls. So I thought that was a really good one. You see, when you wear heels like this, you grow another portion of your brain. I promise you, I can balance on heels. Okay, well, what a wonderful honor to be here. And you just have the most beautiful pastor. I just want to honor you, both your pastors. She's just beautiful. Kevin, you wonderful. We've just met you, but already I can see your beautiful, humble heart, both of you. They really are lovely, so lovely. Thank you. Okay, so a quick rundown of the weekend, but you guys will have to read the books and hear from your wives. But very basically, what I teach is that thoughts are real things that occupy mental real estate. So we are thinking beings made in the image of a thinking God. So we are always thinking. We are, during the day, we think, choose, and build thoughts. And then at nighttime, we sort out those thoughts that we have built. And that's why we dream. So as we're sorting out our thoughts, we're kind of doing housekeeping. And this is why it's so vitally important that when we lay our head on those pillows and we go to sleep at night, make sure that God is the last thought on your mind, so that he filters through and helps you as you sleep, and that you've given those things over to God. Okay, so we're basically what we learned this weekend was that we are made in God's image as we know. So you'll see on this side of the stage, you've got a green tree. There's a bigger one that's God, and then the little one is us made in His image. I use the tree analogy because our thoughts are real things that occupy mental real estate, like this church occupies mental real estate, and they look like trees. Literally, our thoughts have an arbor-like structure. They're made of proteins and chemicals, and we, with our mind, actually build thoughts. So our mind is separate from our brain. Our mind is over and above our brain. Our mind is our soul. Our soul is our intellect, our will, and our emotions. And with our mind, our intellect, our will, and our emotions, we actually change the physical nature of our brain. We are merging with our environments. Moment by moment of every day, as you are thinking, choosing, and building, you are changing the design of your brain. So you have this incredible love, power, and sound mind to be able to change your brain. So we better make sure we're changing it in the right direction, which is why we have this, so many scriptures telling us to choose life. I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Because the choices that you make are very real things, and the choices that you make become thoughts. And the thoughts that you build in your head out of physical proteins and neurotransmitters will then produce the words and the actions that you speak. So no words and actions are just random events. They are the result of what you have done with your love, power, and your sound mind. So we have a love, power, and sound mind. So that's in this zone. This is the love, sound zone. This is the normal zone. God only made good stuff. We mess up the good stuff. So this is the normal zone. This is the love zone. This over here is the fear zone, the opposite spiritual force. Love and fear cannot coexist. So the little wiry tree represents toxic thinking, and this is the fear zone. We are in the middle in life, and we have to make a choice. We are either going to follow God's way and the loves and step into the love zone and operate in what I call the perfectly you, or we're going to step into the fear zone, which is the opposite spiritual force, and where mental ill health, disease, and all the bad stuff resides. So why we choose that zone is insane, okay? But we do. We make choices, wrong choices all the time. So tonight, I'm going to take this concept of choice a little deeper and start showing you the science behind choice and show you that you are so truly powerful. When God says that you have a love power and a sound mind, He's not joking. The way we are designed is outstanding. Neuroscience, which is the study of the brain, basically is showing us how complex we are and is confirming how much we don't know about the greatness of how we made in the image of this incredibly great God. So we have power, but we're in a world that tends to try and say that we don't have power, that we are victims of our biology, our genes, our past, what our parents have done. Well, for a moment, let me just tackle the what our parents have done, the bloodline curse, the passing through the generation stuff before we launch into the concept of choice. And I'm going to teach this based on the spirit, soul, body, and also Deuteronomy 30:19, just very quickly as an introduction into choice. Okay, so Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life so that you and your descendants may live. So that you and your descendants may live. So that you and your descendants may live. In other words, the thoughts that you're thinking today impact not only yourself, spirit, soul, body, because you are a spirit, soul, and body. You're a triune being, and you're supposed to have all three integrated and working. You can't just be spiritual on Sunday and awfully physical on Monday and forget all about your mind and let your mind just go wherever it wants to go. We are supposed to constantly be operating in an integrated way, spirit, soul, and body, being led by the Spirit of God. So when we're born again, our spirit is regenerated, we plug into the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guides our spirit man, which guides our soul, which is our mind, which guides our body. That's what's supposed to happen. We live in a world which focuses on the physical and doesn't understand and pretty much ignores the spiritual part of us and the soul part of us. But the soul has one foot in the door of the spirit of man, one foot in the door of the physical of man. So this through the soul, which is the mind, we are thinking, choosing, and feeling. Okay, so the thoughts that we think, choose, and feel and build basically go into your brain, as I've been saying, and they pass through the next four generations through the sperm and the ova. So the stuff you're thinking about to pass through to your children, the stuff in your own head, you've got stuff from your great-great-great-grandparents. So before you go home and send an email to your grandmother saying that's your fault that I'm like this or whatever, You need to recognize the following scientific fact, and that is that these things that pass through the generations, and they do, the decisions of our parents pass through the generations into the next generations and on and on and on until we stop them. Okay, the good and the bad, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But what passes through the generations dormant, asleep. Very significant. So you have the predisposition to act in a certain way, but it's not a guarantee. You have to actually choose to activate that predisposition. So if there is X in your family, it doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to live X life. It means that there is the predisposition. It means that your nature, adding to your perfect nature, has been a bit of original sin added on. And then as you go through life, you add a bit more sin onto that, on top of the perfect nature of man, the original design. But you do not have to live into what you see in your nurturing. Okay, you do not have to let your nurturing activate the things that have passed through. If it's good stuff, go for it. Activate it. But if it's bad stuff that you see in your bloodline, you do not have to activate that. You can say this far and no further. Now, I'm telling you that because we are in a world, and I move in the world of science, and you'll read in the media, well, they found the gene for this, so this gene's in your family. Well, that's it. Death warrant signed, literally, that this is going to be in your life. Well, that's not the case. Because they actually have to be woken up. And something that's unwoken is asleep. So what you can do is wake something up, let it sleep, or kill it. I would recommend the latter. Get rid of it. Okay? So don't wake it up, eliminate it. And that's what you can do through the 21-day detox, which is the practical side of renewing your mind, which the girls learnt about, and I've got materials on that. But essentially what you do when you acknowledge something exists, you look at it, face on in the arms of God, and you start dealing with that issue, you then are getting rid of it as opposed to submitting to it. You have this choice. You're not a weak human being. Let me remind you that the enemy is the one actually who's weak. He has no power. Read your Bible. What does it say? When Jesus rose from the cross, he said, "All power has been given unto me." The enemy has no power. The only thing he can do is lie. He's an illusionist. We've all seen what an illusionist does. It seems real, but it's not. So we have to take that not real thing and we have to do the right thing with it. We give power to the enemy when we take his lies and we use that information and we turn that into something real in our lives. Until you choose it and make it something real, it's a nothing. Okay, and we need to recognize that, otherwise we're looking for demons on every doorknob and blaming everything except taking responsibility for our thought life. Now, I know life's not easy. No one's going to tell us life's easy. I know trauma happens, which is involuntary, and I know sin happens, which is voluntary. Just by the way, sin is voluntary. No one forces us to sin. We do that very well of our own free will. But what we have to recognize is that these are things that don't have to stay in us. This is a misuse of our powerful mind. So we need to learn to use our powerful minds correctly, and this is why God says pray continuously. This is why the Bible instructs us, pray day and night, pray continuously. Set up a constant internal dialogue with the Holy Spirit, which is a statement that I make in every single time that I talk, which is multiple times a week, all year long. I preach 44 Sundays of a year on average, and that's on top of the other times I teach. I teach all over the place. I'm on TV all the time, and I can tell you, I'm saying that to tell you, you will always hear me say, the most important thing I can teach you is set up a constant internal dialogue with the Holy Spirit so that he can keep you on the straight and narrow and you can use your love power and your sound mind correctly and you can develop the wisdom to hear the lies of the enemy. Discernment comes with wisdom. Wisdom comes when you immerse yourself in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We know those scriptures. So James 1:21 says that the implanted Word of God will save your soul, not the implanted Word of Google and gossip. Okay, so we have to implant, and we're going to talk about this implantation when I teach on the sower and the seed in the morning. Okay, so the first slide I'm going to show you is basically a stain of, called a Golgi stain, of nerves in the brain, of basically neurons in the brain. You'll see it coming up. There we go. Now, you can see the tree-like structure. This is a very old, very famous slide. One of the first actual stains of what the neurons look like inside the brain. And the neurons are the parts where we grow our memories on. So when I talk about thoughts being real, and thoughts occupying mental real estate, well, that's what your thoughts look like. This is what you're building in your brain as you're listening to me now. You are building thoughts that look like trees inside of your brain made of proteins. So as you're listening to me, it puts your mind in action, which leads you into a state of choice. So let's see this. We're going to have a look at the next slide, which the girls nearly passed out when I showed them this morning. But you remember, you are brilliant. Which ladies were here today? Okay, so if your man says, I don't understand, or thinks he's not intelligent, just lean over and tell him or anyone around you that you're brilliant, you can understand this. And that's not facetious, it's the truth. We are made in the image of an exceptionally brilliant God. God is God. God is amazing. God is big. God created a universe that's 150 billion light years and growing. God is amazing. Okay? And that amazing is in us. So you are brilliant. Never say you're not. It's not prideful when you say you're brilliant. It is celebrating your creator when you acknowledge his brilliance in you. Okay? So with that in mind, targeting the struggle of learning new information is a very good exercise. The more you stretch your brain, the more you increase your intelligence. You're made in the image of an intelligent God, as I keep saying. Therefore, use your intelligence. Use your mind. Develop your brain. Grow your brain. Don't immerse yourself in a life of easiness. Immerse yourself in a life of challenge. Constantly challenge yourself, because the benefits are huge, because that is the design of your brain. And how wonderful it is to learn about this incredible world that God has given us, and this incredible mind and body and brain that we live in. Okay, so based on that, you'll see up here, this is a basic summary of my theory, a schematic image. Just look at the green, the purple, and the blue. The girls heard a bit about this today, and we're going to use this as a foundation for choice. Okay, so the blue part where you see a smiley face, that represents the contact between the external world and the internal world of your mind. So when you wake up in the morning, this thing goes into action. As you wake up in the morning, you start experiencing life. So you start, things start coming in through your emails, your conversations, your time at work, as you go through the day, your family, friends, etc. You are receiving signals from the environment. You are processing life that comes in through the blue. It comes in as a quantum action into your brain, and that sets your mind in action. So the minute you receive a signal, your mind, which is separate from your brain, your mind, which is your soul over and above your brain, then literally is using the substance of your brain to actually store this information that you are processing. So your brain is subservient. Your brain doesn't produce mind. Your mind changes your brain. Very distinct difference. The world will tell you that your mind and your brain are one, and that your brain, that mind emerges from the brain, but the brain is not self-emergent, which means that if I have a brain in my hand, that brain is not going to produce any mind. But in your head, if we link you up to all kinds of brain technology now, we will see massive action inside of your brain. So your spirit of life that God breathes into you, when he literally, as God made the spirit from you, initially spirit, he formed us from the dust of the earth. He breathed the spirit of light, and so the soul was formed. So the soul has a very unique position in that it has a spiritual component and a physical component. It's in the middle, and through our very powerful, very interesting nature of our soul, which has the spiritual component, we are able to process the things of life. So as it comes in, it comes into the purple part, and the purple part is your mind, your conscious mind. Your mind, which is your soul, is broken up into your conscious and your non-conscious mind. So your conscious mind is the purple part, and then the non-conscious mind is basically the green part. So your mind has got two components. The green part is the spiritual part of your mind that connects into your spirit man, and it has what we call non-physical quantum features. It has spiritual features that we don't fully understand. I think we won't ever fully understand until we get to heaven, and then God will explain a lot to us. But science is revealing more and more and more. For example, 20 years ago, when I was 25, 30 years ago, when I started in this field and I was studying the science of thought and doing research in this area, I was told that the non-conscious mind is very unimportant. Don't even bother going down that road. It's like just a big filing cabinet. It doesn't do anything. The big thing is the conscious mind. But I knew that that couldn't be the case, and now my research has been confirmed in a multiplicity of ways by thousands of researchers around the world that the non-conscious mind is vitally important, because the non-conscious mind, which is incredibly fast, big, and huge, is where the result of our choices reside. It's where the result of our choices reside. Choice is in the domain of the mind. The mind is your intellect, your will, and your emotions, your thinking, choosing, and feeling. Your mind is your love, power, and your sound mind is thinking, choosing, and feeling. Okay, so with our thinking, choosing, and feeling, we basically are building these thoughts, and as information comes in through the blue into the purple part's like a cognitive, conscious melting pot. It's a conscious part of us. So we're consciously aware of what's coming in, and as soon as stuff comes in, then stuff comes up from the non-conscious. The girls learned about this morning. So as you are stimulated, as I'm talking to you now, it's coming in through the blue, into the purple, and it's activating stuff to move up from the non-conscious mind. So now thinking goes into action. Now you are thinking, and you are able to choose, and you are able to feel. Thinking enables us to analyze. Choosing enables us to activates our beautiful gift of free will. Feeling adds dimension, color, motivation, and enables us to cause a whole release of neurotransmitters in our brain, which help with memory formation. So God has multiple purposes behind every part of how we are designed and we are created. So let's talk about this purple part for the moment, and let's talk about what choice is. So the next slide I'm going to show you is a simple version of this, which I also showed the girls this morning. This is a body of water, and the body of water represents the non-conscious mind, and as it moves, you'll see little things popping up. It's going to come through in a moment. You'll see things popping up, and that's bits of water, basically the fountains of water shooting up. It's a fountain. It's going to move in a moment. So the body of water is the non-conscious green part of my theory, and when you see it moving, that's the mind in action, and the things popping up, which is water in this analogy, is basically the things that will come as a result of incoming information. As I'm talking to you now, you are thinking of things. That's completely normal. Things are moving from your non-conscious mind. I've reminded you of something by my words, and that comes up. So that moves into your conscious mind. So at any one moment, you have stuff coming in, stuff coming up, and your frontal lobe of your brain enables you to stand outside of yourself, observe the incoming, observe the upcoming, and make a decision to talk to the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the first part of choice. This is, the first part of this whole choosing concept. What we are in at the moment, when we have got the incoming through the blue, the upcoming from the green, and making the decision to listen or not to listen to the Holy Spirit, we are in what in quantum physics is referred to as superposition. Superposition is a state that subatomic particles go into, that waves, which is what subatomic particles eventually break down into, and all energy eventually becomes a wave. Okay, so that's like the smallest part of what we are. Now, a wave gathers energy. So if you think of this, if you've got the ocean and the wind blows across the ocean, as the wind blows across the ocean, it's a force. The wind is a force. And as it blows across the ocean, it transfers this force into energy, and it grows a wave. And as that wave moves, it then will eventually crash down on the beach. As it crashes down on the beach, it's delivering its energy onto the beach. So over time, the shape of the beach changes. Or if it's bashing against the rocks, eventually over time, the rocks become grains of sand. Is that simple enough to understand? Okay, so you've got the ocean. You've got the wind, which is a force. As the wind passes over the water, it transfers energy, which then the force and the energy make this wave. And this wave moves, and it crashes on the beach, and it leaves an imprint. Now, that's kind of what we're doing with our thinking. So the information comes in. This is the wind of force that carries energy. The information comes in. It passes over the ocean. Okay, of your cognitive mind, you consciously are aware of this. You're building a wave of energy. The information from the non-conscious is added to this wave of energy. And hopefully, you are going to be dialoguing with the Holy Spirit. And as this wave is building, you are in superposition. Let's see what it looks like. We're now going to see a surfer on a wave. This is a world-famous surfer. Who knows him? Kelly Slater. Okay, so there's Kelly Slater. I don't know if he realizes he's in church, but anyway, he's being used in church around the world. So Kelly Slater is on a wave, and this is what we are. As we are about to make a decision, as this information has swept through the ocean of our mind, the energy's been transferred, this wave has built, and it's now going to move. Now, in superposition, you haven't yet made a decision. You are just gathering all the thoughts. Now, doesn't the Bible tell us, gather all thoughts into captivity to Christ Jesus? Bring all thoughts into captivity to Christ Jesus. Not bring some on Monday, some on Tuesday, and the rest you can leave. or choose what you want in any one day. God says, bring all thoughts. Do you know what all thoughts means? It means all thoughts. That's simple, okay? Not some. It means all thoughts. So we're supposed to bring everything that comes in through the blue, everything that comes up from the green, that's my theory, into the purple, into this wave-like structure. And before you crash a wave on the beach and make the wrong kind of dent on the beach, first, go in your beautiful ability to go into superposition, discipline your mind to converse with the Holy Spirit. So in superposition, Kelly Slater can look down the side of the wave. Can you see there's a clear wave? Now there's a massive amount of science involved in sitting on that surfboard, the angle, how you position yourself, how your eyes are moving. It's very scientific. I've discussed this with surfers. And basically the angle, the motion, the timing, all of this combines together to decide how effectively and how far they are going to move down the clear side of the wave. One wrong move and they will land back inside the body of the wave and they won't be able to ride the wave. Now, Kelly Slater knows in that position of superposition that his choice is going to collapse something that is an actual probability. He hasn't yet gone down that wave, but if he does all the right stuff, the probability is that he will get quite far down that wave. And he's pretty practiced. That's why he's a world famous surfer. So he kind of has got to a point where he has practiced and practiced and practiced rigorously, disciplined for hours and hours every day. He didn't just hop on his surfboard now and then and become a world famous surfer. He became a rigorous, disciplined surfer. So when he's in superposition, he's pretty good at judging the probabilities of how to get down the side of the wave, the correct side of the wave. So as he makes his decision and he starts to move, he is collapsing what is a probability of getting down that side of the wave into an actuality of riding down the clear side of the wave. And he knows when he does that, he's going to have a good ride and he's going to score a lot of points and he's going to get another world championship if he does this thing correctly. So there's a lot of stuff, but he's not 100% sure how far he'll get, exactly when that wave is going to crash. It's all a matter of probabilities, multiple different levels, and all mathematically can be worked out. But he does know it's going to be pretty good because he can see. Do you see where I'm going with this? Okay, so now this side of the stage are all the probabilities of what God has for us. But they are all completed probabilities. The only reason they have the label probabilities is because we have to step through the door and partner with God and actually activate the probability. That is what it means to have a relationship with Christ. He doesn't come and put it on us. He invites us to choose to do partner to do the partnership thing with him. So a lot of us are sitting back and thinking, God, just come and do it all. You know, I'll just come to church. Pastor, you lay on hands. Caroline, you fix my issues. It doesn't work like that. Okay? It doesn't work like that. You have the love power and the sound mind. You have your own love power and your sound mind. I have mine. So we're supposed to be using that for the good of listening to the Holy Spirit so that he can activate the divine sense of purpose that he has placed within you so that you can fulfill what you're supposed to be doing, which is not a selfish life. It is a selfless life of service. In whatever you're called to do, it is a selfless life of service. And in giving that selfless life of service 100%, you will ride the wave into glory. And there will be some bumps along the way, but you will keep getting up and you will keep getting back and you will keep practicing like Kelly Slater and any athlete does. We understand that athletes have to work hard, but somehow when it comes to the mind, we are exceptionally lazy. If we just applied a little bit of the sports kind of attitude to developing skill in our mind, we would be very different in the church today, and the world would be seeing a difference in the church today. There is not enough difference, and I'm sorry to say this to you, but there is not sufficient difference in our thinking patterns for the world to be very attracted to us, which is really sad. And obviously, I'm generalizing because obviously churches wouldn't be growing if there wasn't a love that is being expressed, but it's not enough. We are not growing fast enough. We are not doing enough. And that's because we are coming to church broken because we're making the wrong decisions, because we've been lied to by the enemy, lied to by the world. We've immersed ourselves in the wrong side of the wave and we are not collapsing the correct probabilities. So coming back to that, on this side of the stage, are all these amazing probabilities, all these incredible things that God has already done for us. So everything that you need for the rest of your life is already done. And there's I don't exactly know if there's just one path. Personally, I believe that there's a multiplicity of ways because God gave us free will. So he wants us to work out this thing with salvation, with fear and trembling. He wants us to study to show ourselves approved. He wants us to use our intellect. So there's a multiplicity, and he works with us of multiplicity of probabilities. I don't think there's just one thing on path A. I believe that there's a multiplicity of good things, and God allows us to find our way, but whichever way we go, it's already done. Because God is the God who created everything. He's over and above time, and the quantum world is not bound by space and time. Quantum physics is what they call weird, because it doesn't follow the normal laws of classical physics, which are all bound by space and time. God created space and time. Stop putting God in a box. Your next week means nothing to God in terms of time. Your next week's already happened. Next month has already happened. Next year has already happened. Did you hear what I just said? It's already happened. When Jesus rose from the cross, it was already done. We have to go find that. We have to go activate that. And we do that with the choices that we make in our life. So when we make a good choice, we wire incredibly good things into our brain. But as Kelly Slater chooses in superposition, so we are supermen and women, we can go into superposition. We go into superposition approximately every 2 to 7 seconds all day long. Okay, so every 2 to 7 seconds, you are actually thinking about something and about to make a choice. So we need to rigorously discipline our mind to be constantly dialoguing with the Holy Spirit. You can be looking at someone, like you can be looking at me, and you can be dialoguing. I'm doing it right now. Every few seconds, I'm asking the Holy Spirit what next must come out of my mouth. Otherwise, I'll speak signs that I won't even understand. Okay, so we need to be very disciplined to be in that superposition, which is a quantum state. In quantum physics, particles can be in a 0 and a 1. At the same time, and then suddenly they will collapse either into a 1 or a 0. What makes them collapse is an outside signal. So they call this the observer effect. In other words, they will stay in 1 and 0 until an observer observes it. Okay, so what that means very simplistically in our life is that we are the observer outside the system of life. We are Kelly Slater on the surfboard. We are in superposition. And we are in the 1 and the 0 position. That's just all kinds of analogies to help you understand this. But it's your choice. What you choose will collapse the probability into an actuality, which is something real. It's going to happen in your life. Okay, so on this side of the stage, in the fear zone, are all the lies of the enemy, which are also probabilities, but they're very different probabilities because they're lies. They don't exist. They don't have any substance. This is the faith side. This is the faith, is the substance stuff. Done stuff. Miracles done. Goodness of God already done. Probabilities. Your life beautifully mapped out. All done. It's the substance of what you hope for. The evidence, it's done. Substance and evidence imply stuff. Do you get that? Okay? So it's done. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. You haven't seen it, but God has. He knows what's coming down the wave. And he wants us to get into such a relationship with him that we actually can step out there because we have read and immersed ourselves in the word, and we know that I know the plans I have for you to give you a future and a hope. He's got good stuff planned for us. But if we don't get that revelation, we won't really believe that God knows who he is. That God knows what he's doing. And you might think, well, that doesn't apply to my life. Well, every time you do something without God, you've just done that. Every time you've made a wrong decision, you've just said, okay, God, I know that you know stuff, but I actually know more than you do. And that's what we're doing. Every time we don't ask God and look at the consequences, I lay before you life and death. Choose life. Get on your superposition, surfboard would be a bit difficult to skate on a wave. Surfboard, and start connecting with God in your choices. These are the lies of the enemy. These are the illusions. These are the probabilities that are no good. These are not real. But if you, with your love, power, and your sound mind, take those, things happen. Let's quickly have a look at the good side. When you make a good decision, let's look inside the brain. This is an actual slide of inside the brain. And this slide, basically, my students, I told the girls this morning, used to call the spaghetti and meatballs because it looks like spaghetti and meatballs, but it's not. Those are the thoughts that you need to bring into captivity. Those are your memories. Those are your thoughts. Okay, so these are the things that we need to bring into captivity to Christ Jesus. So now, as you make a good choice, you're going to wire that good choice into your brain. So as you collapse, as you make a choice, you generate a signal that causes DNA expression, which makes proteins, and the thoughts become physical tree-like structures that look like that inside the brain. So these things can be constantly changed. Every time you're aware of them, you can change them, redesign them, add stuff onto them. As you learn more, you add more information on. So the first time you read a scripture, you build a network like that. And then you read more, and you think more, and you think more, and you integrate it with other things. And so you keep building the dendrites, which are the little branches that you grow. In other words, with your mind, you physically make changes in your brain. So that's healthy thinking. Let's have a look at one neuron that looks healthy. So there's a healthy one. Now let's go back to Kelly Slater on the slide, on the wave. Okay? And what we will see, okay, now, down that wave, there's a whole lot of probabilities. And we call this Schrödinger's wave. Schrödinger was an incredible scientist as well. He was one of these quantum physicists, and he worked out Schrödinger's calculation, had a radical impact. His work has really come back. His 1940 book that he wrote has really come back into significance now, and it's so spiritual, it's unreal. It really explains a lot of life and choices and et cetera, et cetera. Now, he has what is called the Schrödinger's wave. And Schrödinger's wave is that there's a whole wave of probabilities that can happen. So when you're in superposition, he uses the example of the cat. I don't know if you ever heard about the cat's alive and the cat's dead. Anyone know Schrödinger's cat? Put up your hands if you know Schrödinger's cat. Okay, so here's a simple version of Schrödinger's cat. Schrödinger has a thought experiment, not has, had, created a thought experiment where there's a cat in a box with a little thing, and there's a little, like a poison gap where poison can get in. So now, poison goes in. Now, is the cat alive or is the cat dead? So at a point, until you actually open the lid and look inside, the cat's dead, or the cat's dead and alive at the same time. So superposition is both options exist. See, superposition is the good and the bad exist, because God's already done the good and the enemy's already out there to get the bad, and he's thinking of all kinds of bad. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, so Schrödinger said there's a wave of probabilities of bad stuff. There's a wave of probabilities of good stuff. And you can then calculate it and work it out, which you don't have to do. Don't worry. Okay, so all you have to understand is that these things are real. God uses science to confirm things. So I'm trying to give you the science behind choice. So when you make a good choice, you collapse the probability into an actuality, and you start accessing the goodness of God. Your capacity to access the goodness of God, which is something I also say often, is based upon your wisdom. Wisdom comes from spending time with God. As Einstein said, I want to know God's thoughts, the rest are details. Such a great quote. We should all have that attitude. I want to know God's thoughts, the rest are details. Okay? So then when we choose wrong, let's go back to shooting, you're back in superposition. Now let's say we ignore the Holy Spirit, we totally make this decision on our own, we now collapse a negative probability into an actuality. Okay, so now what's going to happen? Let's have a look in the wave. Who sees us there? That's on this side. So you land up if you don't. And by the way, if you look quickly, look back at Kelly Slater, you'll see there's a red circle, and he had his GoPro with him. And if you look closely, there is actually a shark in the wave. So if he had fallen backwards that day, he would have been attacked by a shark. So it's actually quite an interesting thing. Anyway, so it's a great analogy to teach us that when we make the wrong decision, we have landed slap bang in the jaws of the enemy. Now, sharks aren't bad things, obviously, unless you go in their terrain and then they think you're food. So it's not their fault that you jump in their water. So if you basically, that's their terrain. But we use that analogy because they're all scary looking and they kind of rip you apart. And that's kind of what the enemy does when we believe his lies. Now, here's the thing. What is evil? Okay, we know the enemy's evil. We know that he went against God. We know the story, okay? But he is a defeated foe, and I stress that again, like I did in the beginning. He is defeated. Okay, he's not outside in the car park gnawing on your tires, waiting to jump on you and put a spirit of trauma on you, a spirit of torn tires so that you have a spirit of car accident. We have to be so careful. I know I'm making a light of something that is not really light, but it is, because we have to get over Satan. We have to get into God. Stop giving him so much attention. Start recognizing he's a liar, and he will come at you with all media, friends, people, family, Thanksgiving coming up, the holiday season coming up. People will say things, and these are lies that are distortions. He says this, and he thinks that, and I'm upset about this. And these are. So what we do is we take the lies, the probability, the wave of probabilities, and in superposition, we take those, we think about them, and with our powerful mind, we collapse a probability into an actuality. We turn a nothing into a reality. We build a toxic thought. That's what the wiry tree represents. We create evil. The enemy has no power left. We have been given the love, power, and the sound mind. When we use our love, power, and soundness, and we use it in a spirit of fear, which we have not been given in, we step into the enemy zone, we step right into the jaws of the enemy, and basically we create evil. We take, he's laughing, the enemy, whatever the enemy is, he's laughing that we have listened to the lie, and we have created the evil. We built that in, and as we plant that deeply, which we'll learn about tomorrow morning, we will then basically start speaking and acting from that lie. We create evil. Thank goodness for the blood of Jesus. Thank goodness we can acknowledge our sin, confess our sin, receive our forgiveness, and eliminate the stuff from our lives. So we are the ones who create evil. So let's have a look after what it looks like in the brain if we fall in the jaws of the enemy. We'll see now a dark cloud up there. That's not a hole in the brain. That represents the damage that these things cause. We are wired for love. We are not wired for fear. We are wired for love. We are not wired for fear. That means there is no structure. There is no system. There is no neurotransmitter. There is no circuit in your brain that is designed for anything in the fear zone. How do I know? We're made in God's image. How do I know? We've been given a spirit of love, power, and soundness, not a spirit of fear. Whatever God's done, he's going to make the physical match the spiritual. Okay? So he's the same author. God, the author of science and the Bible is the same. Okay? So in other words, the physical matches up with the spiritual. And therefore, babe, we are going to make the wrong choices. We are going to build death into our brain. And this is what we see from science. We see that when we live in a world of bad choices and a root of bitterness and unforgiveness and all that kind of stuff, what we do is entangle ourselves in a mess. We create brain damage, neurodegeneration, and that leads to the statistic that 75 to 98% of current mental, physical, emotional illnesses today come from our thought life. Some of the most recent, up-to-date, current research shows that cancer basically is 98% from our thought life. When any kind of DNA expression will cause cells to divide. Okay, so when cells divide, when the DNA is doing its thing, when it expresses and we have cell division and we have, they're two separate things. When all the stuff is going on in the cell, when this nucleus divides, etc., etc., what happens is that all the stuff that's happening in the cell is based upon the signal of life. So when you are thinking, your thinking is driving your genetic expression. It is driving your cell division. Every cell, when it's on its own, if you take a cell out and put it in a petri dish, all the things that are going on in that cell, and you have 75 to 100 trillion cells. All of the things going on in that cell operate in their own unique way. In their own, they have their own oscillations and vibrations and energy things that are happening and whatever, whatever. But you put them together in the same environment. In other words, put all the heart cells together in the heart. So now we have heart tissue made of all these cells. They all synchronize. They all synchronize. So when they were separated, they were all operating on their own. But the minute they're in one tissue, they all synchronize, which means they are doing things at the same time. There is a harmony and a synchrony so that we can function. God is all about harmony and synchrony. So when we have toxic thinking, we disrupt that harmony. We send signals through that confuse the harmony with on the outside of the cells, in our tissues, in our physical body, in our brain, inside the cell, in the DNA, and things start dividing like they shouldn't be dividing. And things start going wrong, and things start basically, disease starts forming. Disease is not something God gave us to teach us a lesson. Disease comes from Adam and Eve, started in the garden with the wrong decision. It messed up our DNA, and research is now showing that cumulatively through the ages, these mutations on DNAs, on the mutations on DNA, mutation means a change. You get good mutations and bad mutations. Good mutations help us to adapt and learn. Bad mutations cause disease. And as every wrong decision that we make activates bad mutations, and over thousands of generations, bad mutations manifest as disease. Disease is not given to us for God to teach us something. Disease is the result of not choosing life. Okay, so now, having said that, please do not get into guilt, shame, and condemnation, and I'll finish with this, because it does not mean that you have to say, oh gosh, I've got this disease in my life, I'm a big fat sinner. Well, first of all, don't even get caught up in that, because first of all, you are a sinner. Let's face it, we all sin. If anyone here thinks they don't, come up now so I can cast the lying spirit out of you. Okay? We all make wrong choices. We all land up in the jaws of the enemy. But as you recognize who you are in Christ, set up your constant dialogue with God, you can then learn to recognize your sin, because the Holy Spirit will speak to your conscience and say, Caroline, don't do that. And then you wake up and say, okay, sorry, I don't want to do that. I want that out of my life. And you start working on those issues. It's a mature Christian response to acknowledge these issues in our life that are evil, sinful, strongholds of the enemy, whatever you want to call them, mountains that need to be cast into the sea. This is just incorrect reactions. It's not going all sin, whatever. It is an awareness that when I don't make the right choices, I'm in the wrong zone. I'm out of alignment with God. Things will go wrong. You don't then say, oh, I'm sick and what have I done, and spend the rest of your next few months trying to dig and go back about how bad you are. The enemy will love that. He will let you use your powerful mind to see, to make you feel even more guilt and condemnation, and you'll land up collapsing and falling apart and getting some kind of whatever. Don't do that. Celebrate. I told the girls this last night, and I'll share this with you now because you can't hear this enough. When you recognize sin in your life, celebrate. Why celebrate sin? No, you're not celebrating sin. You are celebrating the fact that you are now aware of something that you maybe weren't so aware of before, that you're no longer in denial. It's no longer squished down in your non-conscious, causing all kinds of create havoc in the brain. Let's look at another slide of what a toxic issue looks like. Let's look at the next slide. That's what it looks like. You remember the first one? If we can just show us a healthy neuron versus an unhealthy neuron, that look at that horrible looking thing. That's a mess. Now that can become the healthy one. That's the unhealthy one. Well, in a moment, there's a healthy one. That's on this side, that's on that side. The ugly one can become the healthy one. The healthy one can become the ugly one. You decide. Your choice. It's called neuroplasticity. You can change your brain. Your brain is designed to change because you can renew your mind. Bring the thoughts into captivity to Christ Jesus and you change things. That ugly side is not your destiny. It's not who you are. You are perfectly you. Ecclesiastes 7:29. I made them perfect. I made them virtuous. They choose in superposition to land in the jaws of the enemy and to collapse the probability that's a lie and create evil and then speak from the evil and then blame me. How sad is that? We've got to stop doing that, guys. We've got to grow up. We've got to recognize our sin. We've got to move forward. And I said this last night and I'll say it again. There is no shame in acknowledging your sin. There is celebration because another one will bite the dust. Girls, we need some songs here. Another one bites the dust. Remember that? Who knows that song, okay? So another one bites the dust, and then we can celebrate because now we can fix that and we can change that and we can recognize we can move forward. When the shame comes in when we deny what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us. And even if you do not face it today and you take 3 or 4 promptings of the Holy Spirit or 6 or 10 or 20, as long as you do something about it, that shame will go away. Don't leave those issues. Get in superposition. Learn to consult with the Holy Spirit. You are powerful. You are entangled in God. He is the beginning and the end. If you sit in His arms on your surfboard, I guarantee that your life will change. Enjoy renewing your mind. It's fun. God bless you. Thank you.
All right, would you give Dr. Leaf another hand of gratitude? Go ahead and stand up. Go ahead and stand up. We want to remind you that there's a resource table in the lobby with Dr. Leaf's information, a bunch of books and programs that you can do online, all these great resources that you can be practicing and retraining the way you think. I love what the Holy Spirit is doing in our church over the last few weeks. If you really look at what God's doing, yeah, amen. Celebrate what the Lord is doing. Absolutely. And what I love about it is this, and it's basically kind of what she was referring to at the end there, and that is that God not only tells us about a preferred future, He knows how to get us there. And so many times we think it's a dream or it's just a hope that will improve or will grow or maybe we'll get through this difficult time or season or something. And yet God really has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And it's not just a hope. It's a reality. The overcoming Christian life is a reality. The ability to live victorious while we're here on the earth and then train our kids to live victorious and our grandkids to live victorious and to have generations of successful Christians, rather than just struggling Christians or surviving Christians. Are you understanding that? And there is effort on our part. There is practice. I love that part. Man, I love that part. Practicing this. and saying, I'm going to renew my mind and I'm going to be disciplined. And I love the interaction of the Holy Spirit. That this isn't, hey, you go fix yourself, but let the Holy Spirit in. And He knows how to do it, but follow His leading but actually do something about it. So move from a position of just hoping things are going to get better into getting involved with the plan of God for your growth and for your future. I just love it because I love the Lord. I love how much God loves us. Isn't that great? I love how much Jesus did for us so that we're not hopeless and we're not just like a leaf in the wind of the enemy's will, but like God really knows how to help us win. Not just be forgiven, but actually win. Isn't that great? I mean, it's one thing to be forgiven. It's another thing that not only did He forgive us, but He's equipping us and He's empowering us and helping us take the promised land and helping us do what He's called us to do. Man, God is so good. This all goes back to how good, how much God loved the world. That He gave, and He keeps giving. And the fact that He even engineered, the way He engineered the physical body for us to work with the Spirit, and man, just go on and on and on. So I'm all like stirred up right now. I just want to go home and read all night long. Super excited. So let's go ahead and pray. And then tomorrow, there'll be many people in service that weren't in this service, and so we're going to have to squish, and that's okay. We'll make room. Some of you may be at home online watching live stream. That's fine. We're going to have the same worship set because we want to provide church for those who go to the 9 o'clock service and 11 o'clock service. So you can come and enjoy the worship again. But Dr. Leaf will continue to move forward with her teachings. They'll be different. I'm really excited about the tongues one. You know me. I'm really excited about that one. But I encourage you to come, get all you can, invite people, tell them to tune in on the internet. They can watch us tomorrow as well, 9 and 11. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for your time. It's a privilege to host you. God bless you. Let me pray. Our altar workers, if you come forward, we do have altar ministry at the end of every service in case you do want someone to pray for you. The Bible tells us to lay hands on the sick. We'll see them recover. We can bear each other's burdens and we can pray with one another. And so we have great altar ministry here where they'll be super open to pray with you, walk with you, believe God with you. And so we want to make ourselves available at the end. But let's go ahead and pray and then you'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we receive, we say yes. To what you're saying to us. We thank you for Dr. Leaf. We thank you for the ministry that she's been involved with for the last 30 years. And God, we thank you that you've brought it to us in this time and season of our life. And we thank you that we believe there's a divine appointment in this. There's a reason that we're hearing these things right now. May we not live in regret saying, oh, I wish I would have known this 20 years ago. Lord, you knew where we would be, and you know where we are, and you know right now we are the steps of the righteous order of the Lord. And so, Lord, we don't stay in regret saying, oh, I wish I would have. But God, you're saying it today, and so we embrace it today, and we receive it. And Lord, we thank you for the growth in our lives. Thank you for real change and transformation. And God, we just pray as we learn to listen to you, Holy Spirit, with practice and discipline, that your voice would get greater and greater and greater, and that we'll become so comfortable knowing the voice of God. The Bible says that your sheep know your voice. They will not follow a stranger. We're meant to be led by our God. And we give you so much love in return that you care for us in such a powerful way. So I bless this group as they go. I bless the word in their heart. And we give you thanks and praise for what you're continuing to do tonight, tomorrow, and into the rest of our lives. May it not just be a weekend of information, but Lord, help us to put it into practice. I speak that over us right now, that we put it into practice. So this entire church moves forward, not for the sake of the church, our church, but for the sake of the destinies on their lives and the people we're connected to that we're supposed to be transforming and helping. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you as you go.